Hi, everyone. This is Emery, and you're listening to Tech Policy Grind. Welcome to day four of our special bonus content week, where we play interviews and discussions that we had at last week's State of the Net conference in D.C. Today, we're thrilled to bring you a brief discussion Joe and I had with TechDirt's own Mike Masnick. Joe and I are both huge fans of Mike's writing, and if you aren't already, you probably should be. CEO and writer for the blog, Mike's articles offer some of the best examples of tech journalism out there today. From net neutrality to artificial intelligence to surveillance and fake news, Mike has written about it all, and chances are Joe and I at least mostly agree with him. Today we talked about his panel at State of the Net 2018 on the dangers of fake news and, perhaps more importantly, the risks associated with doing something about the problem. So sit back and be worried, but not hasty, and enjoy our discussion with Mike Masnick at State of the Net 2018. And we're live! Hey Grinders, this is Emery, Joe, and we're still at State of the Net, the 14th annual IEF State of the Net, the largest internet policy conference in the country, and we're joined by an excellent guest, Mike Masnick of TechDirt. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, no problem.
So we're glad to have you here. You know, I was telling Mike before the show, but on the other podcast I work on, and This Week in Law, I got to the point where I had to stop. Actually, I had to like go to your articles and then link to the other articles so that it wouldn't be so egregiously obvious that for the week's discussion topics, I just go down TechDirt and just tag, tag, tag. So if you're not reading TechDirt...
This week in TechDirt is fine with me. I'm not going to stop.
We can talk after this.
All right, sounds good.
Mike, you were on a really interesting panel today entitled Internet Speech, Truth, Trust, Transparency, and Tribalism.
Yes.
So I think that opens the conversation to fake news and a discussion of information and disinformation. Do you want to give us the salient points that you brought to open that up?
I don't know. I'm not going to take credit for bringing salient points to the discussion. But it was actually a really interesting discussion because, you know, there are certainly a lot of issues today with, like, the fact that there's a tremendous amount of disinformation online, and there's sort of this situation where information is flooding in all directions, and that makes it, you know, potentially difficult to figure out truth from fiction. But there's also this really big spectrum between, like, truth and fiction, which are, you know, anything from getting a story wrong to, you know, twisting a story to positioning it in a certain way that maybe some
the
people...
The term fake news is nebulous and easy to apply generally to basically anything that you don't agree with?
We came up with 21 different definitions. Do you have a definition of fake
news? No, of course not, right? And so it becomes really challenging, but what's interesting and sort of the point that I sort of tried to raise on the panel was that when people are discussing it, what seems to come up over and over again is this idea of, like, well, how do we solve this problem without the fact that, noticing the fact that the problem itself hasn't been clearly defined, and that all of the solutions aren't necessarily clearly defined and very rarely look at how they would impact that sort of wider spectrum. So it's easy to say, well, you know, everyone who posts a news story has to disclose who they are, right? But then you suddenly, like, wipe out all sorts of people who would need to post stuff anonymously for very good reasons,
absolutely.
Right? Or, you know, how do you deal with, if a platform is deciding, you know, is this, you know, good content that we should be sharing or not? You know, one of the examples I talked about is, this goes back a ways, but it actually repeated last summer, but it originally happened about 5 or 6 years ago, where there was pressure put on YouTube to take down terrorist propaganda. Now, at a first pass, you're like, okay.
Oh, yeah,
like,
terrorists are bad.
Terrorists are bad. Terrorist propaganda, also bad.
It's really hard to defend terrorism in an argument.
Absolutely. So YouTube says, okay, we're going to start doing that. One of the first accounts they take down was like this human rights group that was documenting,
I remember that.
War crimes in Syria. And so suddenly you take a step back and you say, like, how do you distinguish between, like, war crimes and terrorist propaganda? You know, often they're pretty similar. They maybe actually be the same thing in some cases, right? And so
very context specific. Depends on the country.
Depends on all sorts of factors. And if you're expecting, especially when you're a large platform with, you know, millions of or billions of pieces of content, you know, showing up every minute, hour, whatever, however you want to define it, you know, there's no really good way to do that without creating massive errors in both directions, right? You know, the false positives and the false negatives.
Can I stop you there? Because I really do think, as much as I've thought about this, and I don't think if I've thought about this as much as you, I don't think that there is a good solution, and I don't want to be a pessimist. And that's been a theme of the day. And I am
interested in hearing your thoughts. Do you think that there is ever a solution, or is it
Well, it depends on what you mean by solution, right? So that's the whole thing, right? So the thing that I'm most interested in these days is not, like, I think the problem is that what most people resort to when they think of, like, bad content, and it's, which is a terrible phrase and everyone sort of freaks out about, but, like, all of these sort of go back to there's an idea that there's certain content that is bad or dangerous or problematic or whatever, where that, you know, the focus is that most people then leap to, if it's bad or dangerous or causes all sorts of other problems, we have to get rid of it or stop it somehow. That, I think, may not be the best solution. I think what would be more interesting and where we could have a lot better conversations and potentially something that more approaches a solution. I don't think this is a completely solvable problem, but that you could approach a more reasonable situation is you look at how can we structure incentives to encourage more, you know, good, valuable, you know, productive content in, you know, as opposed to destructive, damaging kinds of content. And so, you know, and different platforms have sort of different ways of going about it, but sort of just trying to encourage better behavior or and, you know, again, so I'm already like shifting context here, and like now I'm sort of really talking about like trolling behavior versus like fake news, but like they're all sort of, you know, different aspects to that same spectrum. But I think that you know, the more interesting thing is, you know, how can we structure things or encourage good behavior and
who's your preferred we here? Is this policymakers, lawmakers, platforms, civil society?
Right. So I'm mostly talking about platforms.
Okay.
Right? So because, like, you know, everybody else is going to get it wrong, frankly. I mean, the platforms are going to get it wrong too.
Okay.
I mean, this is the problem, right? Everybody's going to get it wrong. The worst ones will be the people who don't have the experience in sort of dealing with this right now. And because from the outside, these things look much, they tend to look much easier than they really are. The second that you sit down and you actually talk to the people who are making these decisions at these platforms, you begin to realize, like, that example of, like, the war crimes versus propaganda is, like, just but one example. But, like, you talk to these people and they go through, you know, hundreds of those every day, and each of them are more tricky than the next, and they have to make all these decisions at scale. So they at least have a sense of, like, when you do this wrong, what happens? Mm-hmm. And they also have a sense of, like, well, what can we do to sort of tweak and encourage better behavior? They're going to get it wrong too, but at least if you're doing it at the platform level, you know, you have multiple different platforms that can experiment and do different things, and we can learn from them. And one of the things that I talked about on the panel, I mentioned there's actually a conference later this week back in California, where I'm from, at Santa Clara University, where they're actually bringing together a bunch of these companies to talk about content moderation at scale. And part of what I've been told, the companies were told to sort of actually come with real facts and real data about how you manage these things.
I look forward to the coverage of that.
And actually having a discussion about these things, because each of these companies is sort of reinventing the wheel, except it's much more difficult than the wheel, right? The wheel was round.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. This is you know, solving this unsolvable problem, and each of them are doing it in a black box and you know, trying to figure it out on their own.
Well, I mean, we've got a paper out at CET about natural language processing and automated content on social media platforms.
Right.
And you've got another sea of companies that are promising you the world here. They're going to find everything.
Yeah, which, you know, okay, sure. But, like, you know, I'm not going to go down that.
Okay.
It's interesting, right? But, like, you know, and like, let companies experiment with that, right? But they're going to make huge mistakes too. Yeah. I mean, we already know that.
YouTube has already made mistakes. Right. Just talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's lots and lots of mistakes. But, like, the more experimentation that we get, and the more people that sort of try different things and sort of figure out, like, what actually works and what sort of encourages good behavior, you know, I think the better long-term results we're going to have. And maybe it's new entrants. Maybe somebody else comes up with, like, you know, I mean, there have been attempts. There was a company called Parleo that was, like, they got bought and sort of shut down. But, like, you know, they were trying to build, like, a forum that would actually encourage, like, deep, thoughtful discussions. And they had, like, a few, like, nice, interesting tweaks to the sort of standard forum setup that really encouraged, like, thoughtful, deep discussions. And it's like, it's the internet, how can you do that?
Yeah, I'm curious though, I mean, we say, it's the internet, how can you do that, acknowledging that the internet sort of presents this problem. But I think that my larger question here is, we are seeing technologies coming online that are making the fabrication of video and making the fabrication of audio and fake news, like, a whole new ball game of complexity. I'm interested in your perspective. You know, it's. I agree that at the end of the day, it should all come down to media literacy, right? We should all be educated and be better at, you know, absorbing our own media. But when we are faced with technologies like that, that's where I get really pessimistic. I don't know how we deal with that.
I mean, there are obviously going to be horrible stories that come out of that. But, like, that's sort of somewhat true of any technology, right? Mm-hmm. And so my hope is that, in some sense, that actually drives a level of media literacy itself, in that, you know, there are going to be stories that come out that are like the fake videos now that are coming out, where now it's all sort of proof of concept, you know, where you can see, like, I can make Obama say whatever I want him to say or whatever. You know, that technology is going to get better, but there's going to be, you know, there will be a story not in the too distant future where somebody's going to report on a video that they obtained showing, you know, somebody powerful saying something that they didn't actually say.
If the P tape exists and it's not released, like, within the next 6 months, it's not going to matter, because it will be assumed to be fabricated.
Right, but, you know, well, that's interesting. But, like, you know, I think that will drive, you know, real efforts into, like, actually validating these things and figuring out, like, what can you, you know, what can you prove through, you know, whether it's other sources or whether it's through forensics or whatever. And maybe, you know, this may be complete, you know, utopianism on my part, but maybe it leads people to take a second to say, like, I'm not going to immediately rush to judgment on this breaking news story of this video. I'm going to wait until it's actually been confirmed.
I think we should probably wrap up.
I was going to give a pitch to. So you're at a DC policy conference. I don't know if any of what you just said is satisfying to the DC crowd.
Of course.
What do you want? What should we be doing here in DC about these issues? Being aware of?
I mean, obviously paying attention, you know, to the discussions that are happening, you know, I think is important. I think what is most important right now is not to rush into sort of solutionism, right?
Okay.
Which I feel is like, there's like this, we need to do something, right? Without recognizing the you know, just the sheer magnitude of the issues and how rushing into a solution is almost certainly going to make things much worse, often in really destructive ways. And so, like, you know, being a part of the discussion, important, but, like, pushing for answers in the next, like, 6 months is dangerous.
Excellent. On that, I think it's a great time to end the conversation. Cool. So we're going to bring on, who do we have next, actually? Dr. Layton?
No, Betsy Cooper.
Dr. Cooper is going to be joining us in just a few minutes, so stay tuned to the stream. Mike, I really want to thank you for joining us.
Sure.
This has been an incredible discussion. I wish we could have extended it for about four times as long as we had, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And listen to the Tech Dirt podcast. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Best theme song in the business.
Oh, excellent.
Thanks. All right.
Wunderbar.